Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may by your life-giving Spirit be delivered from sin and raised from death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. On Good Friday, March 27th, 1964, North America experienced its largest earthquake on record. As many Alaskans sat down for dinner, they heard the grumbling, scraping sound as the earth trembled. Roads of black asphalt ascended and descended like waves on the open sea. Bits of the landscape opened and closed as if the earth had multiple screeching mouths. Water, sewer, and gas pipes broke. The electricity failed. Railroad tracks collapsed and homes and buildings split into two. Coming in at 9.2 in magnitude, it is said that the seismic waves resulted in the earth ringing like a bell. And as big as this earthquake was, it comes in at number two of all time. The biggest earthquake was the 1960 Valdivia earthquake in Chile at 9.5 on the Richter scale. Yet as powerful as these two earthquakes were, they were not felt and experienced by the whole world. They did not turn the entire planet upside down. Indeed, there is only one earthquake, only one, that shook up the entire globe, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And its aftershocks can still be felt to this very day as more and more people are born again and become new creations in Him who is the Lord of life. Amen? Can you imagine? Can you imagine being at the tomb on that first Easter morning? What a shaking, for sure. To be an eyewitness to the greatest event in human history. It's always interesting to me when I read the accounts of the resurrection in the Gospels, because there is a mix of both fear and wonder and joy. Fear and wonder and joy. All these emotions come together and they're mixed up. And why? Because the resurrection of Jesus is the great earthquake. It shakes you up and you are never the same again. And why shouldn't we be shaken up? A dead man is raised from the dead and death is defeated. As it is sung in the Eastern Church, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in tombs, bestowing life. Yes, I tell you, Jesus' resurrection brings a good shaking with a response of fear and wonder and joy. For the world has changed and it will never be the same again. Now on Good Friday, the day that Jesus died, there was an earthquake too. Matthew states in 27:51-53, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. What are we to make of this? Lawrence R. Farley notes, the great earthquake that attended the death of Christ and caused the rocks to split also shook the stones from the doors of the rock tombs in the area. After Christ rising, many bodies of the saints also were raised. This resurrection was not a simple resuscitation like that of Lazarus. These saints were raised to newness of life, the new order of the age to come, and were not to die again. Most of us have not heard a lot of teaching on this, I bet. But the ESV Study Bible elaborates on this thought, saying, the wording suggests that these saints were not merely brought back to life, but were raised. Raised with new resurrection bodies, a foretaste of what would happen to all believers at Christ's return. So I want us all to see the imagery here. On Good Friday, the earthquake opened the tomb of the saints. On Easter Sunday, there was a great earthquake, and many saints were raised because the Lamb of God had been risen from the dead. Can you imagine living in Jerusalem at this time? What a shaking! And it's all because of the great earthquake, the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen? Amen. This morning, let us once more be shaken with the astounding and astonishing news of Jesus' victory over the grave. And let us cling with hope in knowing that on the last day, we too shall be raised to glorified bodies, inheriting a new creation and reigning forever with Christ our Lord. Let us ponder again the great earthquake and its aftershocks. So if you'd like to follow along with me, and please do, we'll be beginning at Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 in your Bibles. Now, Ron Crow shares that during an earthquake some years ago, the inhabitants of a small village were very much alarmed. But they were at the same time surprised at the calmness and the apparent joy of an elderly woman whom they all knew. And at length, one of them, addressing the old woman, said, "Mother, are you not afraid?" "No," she answered. "I rejoice to know that I have a God that can shake the world." The resurrection of Jesus Christ indeed shook the whole wide world. And as the two Marys approached the tomb early on Easter morning, the great earthquake of Jesus' resurrection has already happened. But they haven't realized it just yet. They've come to see the grave. And they will see it, just not from the perspective they thought as they sat out earlier that morning. They have come to anoint Jesus' body because his burial was done in a hurry, even though the Roman guards would not have permitted this act. Now Nicodemus the Pharisee had done a very good job of anointing Jesus' body, providing 75 pounds worth of spices. That's a lot. But these women who loved Jesus wanted to give and honor him as well. As the saying goes, they were last at the cross and first at the tomb. So fathom their bewilderment as they arrive and they see all these things. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. The rolling away of the stone was not for Jesus, but for the women. Hear me on this. The rolling away of the stone was not for Jesus, but for the women. Jesus didn't need the stone removed to leave the grave, my friends. His resurrection body could do marvelous things, like appearing behind closed doors. No, the stone was rolled away so the women could enter into the tomb and see that it was empty. But before all that, there is an angel sitting on the door. Matthew Keener suggests that the angel sitting represents triumph or completion. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. What an amazing, amazing sight. And perhaps even more alarming was that all the guards were shaken. Shaken. And became like dead men. This means that they fainted at the shock of the earthquake and the angel. One scholar put it this way. Note the irony. Christ, whom all supposed dead, is alive and gone. The guarding men, however, were lying somewhere on the site as dead men. We are told that the angel answers the women. Matthew doesn't tell us what they say or what they ask. But we can assume it has to do with what has happened to Jesus' body. Instead, we hear the proclamation of Jesus' resurrection from the angel. The Messiah, whom was crucified, is not in the tomb. He is risen, just as he said. Indeed, this event is the fulfillment of what Jesus said before his death. But there is a direct command to the women. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. And indeed, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. And so they run away from the tomb with, guess what? Fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. The great earthquake of Jesus' resurrection had been felt, but they were about to experience it more deeply, more profoundly, by encountering the risen Christ face to face. As they go tell Jesus' disciples, they meet King Jesus. Different translations of our Bible say different things, but the original language, it's more like, "Hail there," or "Greetings," or I would rather prefer, "Hello there." But the women prostrate, and they grab his feet, and they worship him, and Jesus tells them, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, to be sure, Jesus was seen at other times around the holy city. He was seen on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. He was seen on the evening of the resurrection in Jerusalem. He was seen even a week later when Thomas declares to him and before all the apostles, "My Lord and my God," which we will be looking at next week. But it seems the longer visitation was designated for Galilee, where it was safer and where Jesus had as the hub of his public ministry for 3 years. It is more likely in Galilee that the Lord appeared to over 500 people at once, as Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians. The point is that more and more folks would experience the great earthquake, that Jesus had risen from the dead, not just the faithful women at the tomb or his apostles. He had risen, and that incredible truth was let out into the world. But there are always those who attempt to suppress the truth. One of the biggest cover-ups in history was the Watergate scandal, which resulted in President Richard Nixon resigning from office. Additionally, several individuals in the administration were sent to prison. Chuck Colson, who was an assistant to Nixon at the time and who went to prison and gave his life to Christ, comments on the scandal saying, "Watergate involved a conspiracy perpetuated by the closest aides to the President of the United States, the most powerful men in America, who were intensely loyal to their president. But one of them, John Dean, turned state's evidence, that is, testified against Nixon, as he put it, to save his own skin. And he did so only 2 weeks after informing the president about what was really going on. 2 weeks. The cover-up, the lie, could only be held together for 2 weeks, and then everybody else jumped ship in order to save themselves. Now, the fact is that all those around the president were facing was embarrassment and maybe even prison. Nobody's life was at stake. My brothers and sisters, the apostles gave their lives for the truth that was set loose into the world on that Easter morning. Matthew transitions from how the women respond to the great earthquake to how the Roman guards and the Jewish authorities react in verse 11. While the women flee from the tomb, the guards revive and knew that they were in deep trouble, that they were toast. When a Roman soldier fell asleep while on duty, the penalty was death. They go to the Jewish authorities and relay everything that had happened. And what do the chief priests and elders do? They buy the Roman guards off with a lot of money. They bribe them with money and tell the guards what to say, stating, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept." And if that reached the governor's ears, Pilate's ears, then the Jewish authorities would bribe him off as well. What a cover-up, to be sure. But you can't cover up the great earthquake. Now let's be clear, what did the Jewish authorities think about the report of the guards? They didn't deny it, did they? They didn't deny it. They had to come up with some sort of explanation for the reality of the empty tomb. And their story wasn't even realistic at all. All the Roman guards falling asleep under penalty of death while scared disciples come and take Jesus' body away. Not only this, if the Roman guards had fainted or fallen asleep, how did they know it was Jesus' disciples who came and took the body? Leon Morris comments that neither the Jews nor anybody else could produce the body of Jesus is of utmost importance. Could this have been done? The story of the resurrection would have been exploded in a gale of laughter. But despite all their precautions, including the setting of a guard of soldiers, no body was ever produced. Amen? Amen. Try as they did, the Jewish authorities could not cover up the great earthquake. And its aftershocks are still felt all over the world to this very day. According to a March 2005 report, in Holland, a homeless man was found using a cemetery as his sleeping quarters. The police charged the man after they apprehended him for a second time sleeping in the cemetery. What had happened is that the 43-year-old man had dug out dirt from under a gravestone and was sleeping inside the hole. But he had also accumulated other gravestones to make his shelter. And so he was charged with violating tombs. My brothers and sisters, we worship a God that messes with tombs. Amen? Yeah. He turns graves into gardens.
Amen.
He opens them up and raises the dead to life because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. By means of his cross and resurrection, death has been defeated. Christ has taken away the sting of death. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
A pastor shares a story about a boy and his father who were traveling in a car when a bee flew through the open window. The boy was so highly allergic to bee stings that both he and his father knew that his life was in danger. As the boy frantically jumped around and tried to avoid the agitated bee, the father reached out and grabbed the bee. When he opened his hand, the bee began to fly again, terrorizing the boy once more. But the father said, "Look, son, look," holding up a hand with an implanted stinger. "His stinger is gone. He can't hurt you anymore." O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Dear friends, we share in the victory of Jesus Christ because we have a life-giving union with him by faith. Even though our current bodies break down and die, death is not the end. Death has been swallowed up by the Lord of life. Its stinger has been removed. Therefore, as in many earthquakes in our world, there are aftershocks. What are the aftershocks of the great earthquake of Jesus' resurrection? Resurrection life now and forever. Say that with me. Resurrection life now and forever. One more time. Resurrection life now and forever. The American church seldom puts the spotlight on resurrection life now. But this is the reason why multitudes continue to join the throng of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They have tasted and seen the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. They have experienced new birth because of the saving works of the Messiah. And they now possess a living hope. They can stare death in the face, and they know that in Christ they are more than conquerors. They are no longer who they used to be, but by the grace of God, they are new creations waiting for new bodies and their inheritance and the new heavens and earth. The great earthquake once again shows the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection life that we know and we experience already in this life is not destroyed. It's not destroyed when our physical bodies expire. Death is not the end, nor is it the final word. When Christians die, they go to be with the Lord, but they are promised resurrection bodies like the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus has a resurrection body, and because we have union with him, we too shall receive incorruptible bodies. We are promised the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen?
Amen.
We long for glorified bodies that can do some amazing, remarkable things. Bodies that cannot become sick or decay or ever die again. Bodies that are made for the new creation. So yes, there are aftershocks of the great earthquake of Jesus' resurrection. He comes into our lives and makes them new, and he shares his life with us now and forever. This is the truth about who Jesus is. And when he gives to all who repent and believe in him, everlasting life now and forever. Jeff Schmid points out that in John Masefield's drama, The Trial of Jesus, there is a striking passage in which the Roman centurion in command of the soldiers at the cross comes back to Pilate to give his report. After the report is given, Pilate's wife beckons the centurion to tell her the whole story of Jesus' death. And when he is finished telling the story, she suddenly asks, "Do you think he is dead?" "No, my lady," answers the centurion, "I do not." "Then where is he?" she asked. To which the Roman replies, "Let loose in the world where no one can stop his truth." Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
Risen indeed! Hallelujah!
The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot ever be shut down. Many may try to ignore it or sweep it under the rug, like the Jewish authorities and the Roman guards tried to do. But the great earthquake and its aftershocks continue to be felt to this very day. They were seen and experienced on that first Easter morning 2,000 years ago, as Christ rose from the dead and many saints with him. They are seen and experienced now as people from every nation, tribe, and tongue come to faith in the victorious Christ and his victory over sin, death, and the powers of hell. Yes, the truth about Jesus has been let loose into the world, and no one can ever, ever shut it down. May the whole world feel the shaking of the great earthquake. Let us pray. O God, who for our redemption and gave your only begotten Son to die upon the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the devil and the power of death, grant us grace to die daily to sin, that we may live with him in the joy of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. Amen.